It's just the default way to respond to something. And realizing and recognizing that that type of self-mastery and control allows me to choose how to respond to things, and then allows me to choose how I want to show up in different situations. That then takes a lot of your power back, so you're not left at the will of somebody else that can be trying to manipulate your emotions or feelings or to get a rise out of you, especially when it's, you know, and when you're going about your day-to-day and there's like road rage or something, and someone's trying to push your buttons and get a reaction from you, and then you both end up just in worse off situations than you were when you started.
Welcome to the More Clients, Less Effort podcast, where we provide expert insights and strategies to turbocharge your business growth. I'm your host, Tim Hyde, and in this series, we'll unpack the secrets, proven systems, and the sales and marketing strategies used by successful business owners to attract, convert, and keep A-class clients on autopilot. Whether you're a seasoned entrepreneur looking to scale your customer acquisition or a budding startup owner looking to crack the code on attracting the right clients, you've come to the right place. Join us on this journey to building a thriving business that leaves a lasting impact. Now let's get started. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of More Clients, Less Effort. I am today joined by the ultimate Zen master, Jeff Serra. Jeff is a self-development sensei and Reiki practitioner focused on healing the physical body, emotional state, and mental well-being. His business, Food for Thought, is an empowerment, motivational, and holistic service that supports you with fast-tracking your healing journey. He works with anyone wanting to step into deeper self-work and heal at the core, which is such an important thing to do for so many of us who get consumed by the business. By addressing the root cause, supports your career, health, personal life, and love life. And Jeff helps guide you through a self-discovery journey to achieve self-mastery by removing limiting beliefs and self-sabotage. He also supports with developing self-love, self-worth, self-respect, self-confidence to reach new levels of healing, happiness, and fulfillment. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Tim. It's a pleasure to be here.
Mate, I'm going to throw this one out at you because I think this is an area that we gloss over as business owners, as we get consumed by this beast that takes every moment of every second of every day, and we'll lose sight of it. How did you get into this space, and what is something that you see? Why do people kind of not look at their inner self often enough?
Well, it's not easy and it's not fun. Because when you realize, I guess the truth of the matter is you're in control of everything, which means that anything that you're unhappy with in life today is your responsibility. And if you all of a sudden shift into that mindset, it can be kind of jarring to be like, oh, so this is all my doing and my responsibility. And so it's kind of a balancing act constantly to maintain what it is that you're mentally capable of understanding, and then working through and applying to yourself in a productive way. You jump into it too quick, too fast, without any guidance, it can be very discouraging to be presented with that reality, to recognize, oh, this is all my doing, and walking that thin line of responsibility versus kind of despair, like, oh, yeah, is actually all my fault.
That's all my fault.
Yeah. So yeah, it's going on that journey myself was like, oh, this isn't fun, to realize the things that I could easily in the past play a victim to were actually choices I made at some point in life.
Yeah.
So it's supportive to take a look introspectively to see and recognize the patterns that exist for us as human beings and the way that we decide to make our decisions based on things in the past.
Tell me about that. Tell me about that, some of the journey. I know, you know, in your early 20s, you were kind of fleeing from a lot of this sort of self-work and self-recollection or self-reflection. And as you say, the responsibility. It's very easy to kind of deflect the responsibility of your own situation onto others.
Yeah, we're almost.
Tell me about that for you. What was the realization moment?
I don't know if there was one key moment, but I know over time there was like just experiences to realize, and a training program that I completed where it was taking a look at, are we a victim of the circumstances or are we actually responsible for them? And having that lens kind of placed over the way that I looked at things to see, oh, like, anything in life is our responsibility based on a choice at some point in time. I think there's also, you know, a lot of the Marvel movies now are talking about quantum physics and how there's multiple realities based on our choice in a moment and all these things. And so really being able to apply that same context to what's presented in the media now has been interesting. And so realizing I could always blame or project external from myself to be like, oh, well, I did this because Tim did that. That takes away all my power and gives it to the people around you. And when I say, oh, well, I did this because what Tim said made me feel insecure, so then I projected this back onto him, that gives me control, even though it's hard to face and recognize within ourselves, to be like, oh, I have an insecurity that can be triggered by someone saying or doing something. But if you do the work underneath that, you then take all that power back so that, yeah, I recognize that this is a trigger for myself, and I'm not going to let that be enacted in this moment because I recognize what it is for me. And that's a story that's from a past period of time when that mental programming existed to protect me. And that's now outdated software, where in this situation, it's not protecting me from anything. It's just the default way to respond to something. And realizing and recognizing that type of self-mastery and control allows me to choose how to respond to things, and then allows me to choose how I want to show up in different situations. That then takes a lot of your power back, so you're not left at the will of somebody else that can be trying to manipulate your emotions or feelings or to get a rise out of you, especially when it's, you know, and when you're going about your day to day and there's like road rage or something, and someone's trying to push your buttons and get a reaction from you, and then you both end up just in worse off situations than you were when you started.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things we kind of need to recognize, that just because you might be trying to go on this particular journey and recognize and internalize and take responsibility for it, the people around you are not. Right. Yeah. And that was a situation you found yourself in your 20s. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, it's difficult because you start to realize and see all these things, and you see it all around you. Once you kind of have that glass shatter and you can see the reality, you also start to recognize it in others. And being on the other side of it, you're just wanting so badly to be like, oh, this is so beneficial for my life. It would be beneficial for everyone else's. But you can't just go around and start telling people these things if they're not ready to or wanting to kind of explore that as well. And then you are faced with a choice point of, okay, is this something worth me putting time and energy into in order to educate the people I'm around? Or do you kind of step back and recognize that everyone's on their own journey at a different pace at a different time? And just because that's what I'm into or going through now doesn't mean everybody around me in my current circle needs to jump on board. It can also be something that, okay, I'm going on this journey and anyone wants to come can come with me. Otherwise, I'm going to start to attract the people that are wanting to go in this direction.
Yeah, I think there's an element of that about having courage to actually let people go as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? It's, say, hey, I'm going over here. You can come with me or not. And I do think we carry a lot of expectation. We carry the expectations of our families, of ourselves, our loved ones, and say, you know, here, I'm going over here. It's okay if you don't come. But if you don't come, I won't need you in the same way that maybe you need me still. And we do say, well, I know that's a saying in Australia that we call this sort of tall poppy syndrome. People aren't allowed to stand out from anyone else. Okay? Mm. So imagine a field of poppies and there's one that's standing out from all the others, right? Got to cut that tall poppy down to bring it back down to where everyone else is at. I know the same saying doesn't exist in the US, but it's an interesting one to think, well, where does that come from? People not allowed to transform themselves. They, you know, have to stay with the pack almost.
Yeah.
It does take a lot of courage to transform and go, okay, look, what my current behaviors, my current choices, my current patterns of behavior no longer serve me the way they once did.
Yeah, and you touched on it where it's like that bravery to step into going somewhere alone or not having your previous support system come with you, whether it's family or close friends. They can be scary, but also that's the requirement, right? To be able to go on these journeys alone, because it's inner work of the self, and that's not work anyone else can do for you. But I think that is where I used to get stuck a lot in the past, where it was like wanting to hang on to those relationships, hang on to those situations and those comfort zones.
What's one of the big realizations that you had as you do this? What was one of the sort of the breakthrough moments for you?
Like, it's, we hear it all the time of like, our perspective creates our reality. It's all words until you experience it and you live it and you start to see the pattern of how much we control. So now when I'm in situations that are like, oh, I don't like this situation, or I don't like the energy in this space, I'm faced with two choices rather than just the one in the previous past was just to complain about it. It's like, oh, I can change this. I can either change my energy in the interaction and then have that be a ripple effect for everyone around me, or I can remove myself from it entirely. And those are viable options. Whereas in the past, it was like, nope, I'm here. I just got to deal with this and suffer through it. It's like, no, you have the freedom of choice. And you also control more than you realize when, you know, I've been at like, maybe let's say an event and I'm like, I don't like the energy in this space, or I don't like the way that we're doing a certain thing. And rather than just write it off and leave, it's like, oh, well, maybe others are also having that experience and I can make a difference by shifting that for the collective, if that's aligned to kind of the intention of whatever's in the space. not like taking over, but recognizing like, oh, we're not having fun in this thing that we're supposed to be having fun. What can we do to make that the case?
Yeah.
So that realization of knowledge.
This obviously has this area, right? Obviously has massive personal impact, right? On, I guess, how you approach situations and your calmness and your ability to not necessarily suppress your emotional state, but kind of respond appropriately to recognize and go, well, this is my emotional state. This is how I'm feeling about it. And I'm going to respond accordingly. And
I think it's, and becoming aware of
the word I'm looking for. But this would, I imagine, have significant impact in a business context as well, both with your customers and your team. Have you had much experience with that kind of work around in a business context?
Yeah. So it's very similar, where within the business, it's what are you feeling or recognizing, and then being aware of what those feelings are. And then again, applying it in this context of business, there's the idea of what my business should look like or should be doing, or comparing myself to all of my competitors or peers or whatever else is out there versus, okay, what's authentic and aligned for me? And being able to have the courage to step outside the box and be like, well, no one else is doing this. That doesn't mean it's wrong. That just means it hasn't been done before, or there's a reason that I'm feeling called to this. And so exploring what that is for myself, rather than, yeah, just be discouraged, be like, oh, well, no one else is doing that, so that means I can't. And then, yeah, realizing and recognizing in during the times when it's like, oh, this isn't aligned to me. That may mean I'm turning down a client, but that's okay. That could mean that, you know, it's making space for something else. And that is a completely different approach than, you know, being in the corporate world of having a bottom line and needing to fulfill these quotas for someone else, otherwise getting reprimanded or being in trouble. As an entrepreneur, yeah, there's still a bottom line, but we really control who we interact with and in what capacities. And so being able and self-aware to understand those things and what really aligns to me as an individual has supported the business as well.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things we often just chase that bottom line, chase that next client, right? But it may not necessarily be the right client for you. I've always sort of positioned it as, you know, we need this ego to be resilient for all the knocks we take in business. Sure. But yeah, we also need to be vulnerable enough to recognize our own emotions in this particular space and go, this doesn't quite sit well with me, or I need to be able to take this feedback and not be threatened by it. Just take it as feedback and go, well, what can I learn from this feedback? And where it's so easy to go, oh, you know, you said something about me and I don't like that, so piss off.
Yeah.
And I think it applies, you know, both when you're dealing with customers and from a marketing context, I always encourage people to go, you know, first thing you want to do is pick up the phone and call your last 20 clients and say, why did you buy from me? What do you like about what we do? And what don't you like about what we do? Right. You get some really fantastic feedback from that as a business owner to go, well, these things people don't like. You know, I'm not responsive enough. I don't get this enough. I'm not available when you need me to be. I charge you too much. Don't charge you enough. Whatever it happens to be, but taking that on, and you can only really do that and be vulnerable to take that feedback if you've actually position yourself internally to be able to go, be like water. I can move and flex. And just because you give us that feedback doesn't mean to say that's just your perspective, right? I can choose to take that on or not take that on.
Yeah, there's a balance to it all, to be able to understand what is someone's experience of you versus there's a pattern of everyone's experience of you.
Yeah.
And so
if there's a pattern, the problem is you.
Yeah.
But with him.
And then aligning yourself to what it is you want to be doing. I think it's easy to veer off that path and be like, okay, this is what I think everyone else wants and needs the thing to be. But then if you lose sight of what you want to be doing, then the business loses some of the spark where it's like, okay, now it's no longer something you enjoy doing. And that's going to be reflected in the quality of your work.
Yeah.
Versus when you stay authentic and true to that, then your output is much better.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, probably something to think about as you kind of interact with your team members as well. Recognize that they don't necessarily have that vulnerability to be able to take feedback from you about their growth and what you need from them, right? And so you may need to temper your messaging to someone else because they're going to view, again, that feedback and that stimulus from you either positive, negatively, or be able to take it on for what it is and look for those improvements.
Yeah, communication is very interesting where you can say the same thing to five different people and you'll have five different interpretations. So learning how to effectively communicate with the individual in front of you is extremely important, especially as a business owner.
Yeah. How do you build your business? Let's talk about systems that you use. I know you do a ton of networking events. You post on LinkedIn regularly. What's the system that you have? You know, is that the system you use to kind of book your calendar out a month in advance?
So yeah, I mean, the networking in volume was where I started. And then from that, making quality introductions for other people that I come across and meet, or when someone makes a request and says, hey, I'm looking for this type of an individual. And then having an organized kind of database of individuals I can pull from has supported in creating kind of a flow where now when people meet with me and I'm connecting them to, you know, four or five people that they're asking to be connected with, it's being reciprocated. So now I'm at a point where I don't have to do as many networking events, and the introductions I've made in the past are now making introductions for me in the present. And so
let's drill into that, because I want to, you know, I think that's the thing where you'll say, oh, I don't know anyone, but talk to me about what's your process. Let me break down that process about how you do that, right? You mean, okay. Do you literally have an extra field in your database you go and search for? Do you have a checklist on your desk as you do a meeting? How do you do that?
So both of those things. Whenever I meet with somebody, I have a sheet that I fill in. So I have a question there on my calendar.
If you're on the YouTube channel, you can go and watch this one. There's a little sheet there that Jeff's holding up. Obviously, in the podcast, you'll have to imagine that.
There's a name field where we connected initially, whether it was somebody referred me to them, it was a networking event, one of the platforms I post to, date and time of the meeting, where they're physically based. So their time zone or their city, the name of their business, and then their title within it. Then I also have several questions on the form they fill in when we schedule our call that give me a little bit of insight into who they are. And then I also have different empty columns that during the call I'll fill in. So one of those is my CRM tags. And so that's something I can readily search within my database. So if someone's looking for a podcast host, I type in podcast host. Bam, here's a list of all the podcast hosts that I know, and then I can connect them to those individuals. If it's a lawyer, right, then it's automatically the tags show up with all the lawyers. And then also a field for who they're seeking to connect with. So then on the flip side, like if I meet somebody that's looking for podcast hosts and then I connect with someone that's a host, I can do a reverse search of that to be like, oh, this person was looking to connect with someone, and oh, here's Tim, let me connect them to Tim. And then that way it's also kind of, I'm able to search for that type of field or whatever column category you want to refer to it as. And then I also have a variety of the common things I tend to send out after these calls. So I have a list of the networking events that I attend. I have a link for booking an exploration call with me. I have a link to set up and put in your bio for when I'm making an introduction to someone else. And so these are all kind of preset where it's just a check box to be like, oh, here's a reminder. I need to send this thing to that person.
Yeah.
And that gives it me easier checklist to do after the call. And then I update the physical paper sheet into my CRM after that call completes so that it's in my database to be searched within later.
Let's explore this real quick, because I love that idea about having it. You record it and then transcribe it into your CRM. Why do you do that manually and then transcribe it rather than just putting it straight into the CRM?
It also supports for me personally in the way that I learn and absorb information. It's like, I don't like to write, but I know writing kind of, it's another touch point for my memory. So oftentimes I don't have to go to my CRM and double check. If it is something more unique and like less common, it's like, okay, let me see who I know. I know I've talked to people within this space, but for other things, it's easier to keep top of mind when I've written it down and then I'm typing it in again. And so it's just kind of through repetition, even though it's extra steps, it's like, okay, now I remember Tim does this specifically. This is the type of people he'd be looking for. And this is also what he's seeking or can be a resource for others in that way. And then that keeps it top of mind so that when I'm on a call and somebody makes that request, it's like, who's top of mind? Let me rattle off several names. Do you know any of these people? And if not, then those go into, there's this, another section on my sheet here to be like, make the introduction to that individual. And I find that, I think there's, when you're on a call with someone, I think they're more susceptible to like, you knowing you're not distracted if you're writing, versus if I'm in here typing while I'm on a call with you, they're like, are you messaging other people?
What are you doing?
Yeah, like what's going on? Versus, yeah, pen and paper is like, I'm taking notes on our call.
I must admit, years ago, I actually got reprimanded by a boss back when I was working with Optus Singtel back in the day. And you know, I was in meetings and I was on my phone in the meeting, taking electronic notes for a tech company using, I must have been a BlackBerry back in the day. And was told basically, yeah, you didn't seem to be paying attention. You're on your BlackBerry the whole time. I said, yeah, I was actually taking meeting notes. But had I had a pen and paper, it would have been a question.
Yeah.
I could have been writing my memoirs. Yeah, I think you're right. And I really love that idea of actually having that system, that interaction between the human discipline of recording notes, right? You know, literally get a bit of paper, have a stack of them on your desk. Every time you have a meeting, grab one of those bits of paper and kind of print, you know, start scribbling. You could probably even take this into a notebook and go to a publisher and have a notebook of those, you know, pages printed out for you, just rip out and give to your EA to transcribe into your CRM if you needed to.
I have a
having that, you know, creating that personal discipline and the system around, this is my system about how I take meeting notes and document and create follow-up actions from those meetings, I think is absolutely brilliant, Jeff, and testament to you and the kind of work that you're doing to systemize that process and actually create really genuine human connection, you know, through the people you meet.
There's on the other side of it too. Before I meet with anybody, I take the time to fill in as much of the details they've provided on their questionnaire. And so that's another kind of, as I'm writing down what they've typed in for their questionnaire, it's again, solidifying in my mind who this individual is. And so I take time before we even meet to really get to know the individual. So there is a level of kind of frustration when people end up not showing up for the calls. And it's like, I've already invested an hour into you before we even met. And so when people no show, no call me, or they cancel the same day, they fall into my blacklist because it's like, this is our first interaction and you're wasting time that you didn't even know I invested into you. And so they just go into a pool of, I'm not going to interact with you moving forward. I feel like it's semi not fair. They don't know that going in. And also there is a question or a checkbox that they mark where it's like, hey, you know, 3 minutes late to our meeting and it gets canceled and you can't rebook. So I feel like it does kind of plant the seed, but it can be frustrating. And also I find that it does save time in the long run, because if they're going to do that to me, they may do that to others. And then that's not an introduction I want to make for people.
Yeah. There's nothing worse than, you know, 10 minutes into a meeting, getting a message saying, oh, I'm going to be late. Like, no kidding. 10 minutes before, I'm running a little bit late. No problems at all. But you're right. It is that investment into sort of doing the time. And it's not like you can suddenly replace it with some other work very easily. I really like that. I think that's definitely a process I'm going to take away from this interview, Jeff, and do for myself as well. It's something I've been trying to do for a while. I just haven't had the human discipline to do it yet. So I'm curious. We'll pivot here to just a quick fire, mate. I haven't warned you about these questions, but let's go with this. Let's go with, when you were making this transition into, you know, this journey of self-healing, what did people think you were doing, and did you get the support that you hoped for?
Because you made it. I don't know what my friends and family thought I was doing. I'm pretty sure they're like, what the fuck is Jeff doing now? Yeah, it was a complete shift from what I was doing before and who I was before. So I actually don't know what the external opinion was. I know that it was not aligned to the things I was doing before, so it was like a curveball, but it has cultivated a completely new, I guess, environment and social setting for me. The support that I needed, I think it very much was the support that I needed, which was not the support that I wanted, in the sense that I had to really shed a lot of my past. And that included the support system I had previously, because it was mostly comprised of people that were working 9 to 5. And they don't fully understand or comprehend the entrepreneur journey. And so by looking to them for that support and not getting it received, it led me to kind of become more independent and find a way to sustain myself, which had not been the case previously, where I was always looking for external support in those ways. So for me, it became a journey of looking inward to be able to support myself.
Do you think that your friends and family understand what you do now?
I think they have a much better grasp now, having seen some of the content that's come out and seeing the traction that it's had. Also, the anticipation of hoping they would support the business going into it was not at all the experience. And I think that's a very common thing for most entrepreneurs, where it's like we're expecting our friends and family to be our customers. And that ends up not being the case. It ends up being strangers that end up being your best customers and best support system. Just because I think they don't have this preconceived notion of who you are and what you do, where it made sense. The lifestyle I came from before, the friends and family I had, are like, why the fuck would I pay you money to talk to you? Like, I've talked to you for free many times before.
That's right. I've talked to you for free for 20 years already. Why do I have to pay for
it? Yeah, it's a completely different context of the relationship that you have. And it's taken time for them to see kind of the results I've created for other people, for it to kind of circle back for those that I didn't know before, to be like, oh, whatever you're doing has legs and it's working, because you've been doing this for a while now and we've been seeing that maybe it's time for a conversation. And that's much different from when I started out, to be like, hey, let me try this out. I'm experimenting with this. Are you open to having these conversations? It's like, no.
Yeah, so what does your morning routine look like?
Yeah. So I have a daily checklist that I use. So in the morning, getting up and posting to social media. So typically I'll schedule the night before for LinkedIn specifically, and then the other platforms I'll post organically to once I'm awake. LinkedIn, I do try to have the post set up ready to go at 6 a.m. Pacific time, because that's 9 a.m. Eastern. And I think that gives more visibility for the business owners on the East Coast. Social media, I think, has a little bit of a similar algorithm, but also it's not as business oriented. So I'm a little bit looser with that, where it's like, if I end up posting at, you know, 7, 8 or 9 a.m. Pacific time, I find that it still gives me the same exposure on those platforms. Then I follow that up with, depending on my, each day is different based on my schedule, but typically there's calls in the morning and then a cold shower. I find that the cold shower is supportive for both your physical and mental health, as well as developing mental fortitude to be able to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And then, yeah, making my bed, brushing my teeth, and all the self-care things before jumping into, you know, calls, emails, and whatever else that day has in store.
Why'd you call showers? I just can't do it.
It's so supportive. After a month of doing it, you actually start to crave it.
Really? Okay. I just need to go for longer.
There's a dopamine release you get from it. It supports with inflammation. There's a lot of health benefits. So one thing I recommend is to do it gradually. So you could get in and take a hot shower and then either end it cold, or you start it cold and then end it hot, depending on the temperature in your climate, whatever would be more comfortable.
Yep. What underrated tools are indispensable for your job?
A CRM is one. I use Pinnacle AI. That's a great support system for taking over a lot of the manual tasks. And even if, you know, I get to a point where I don't want to be doing the handwritten notes, then everything does exist inside of Pinnacle for me to do digitally. And then a calendar system. So previously I used something called TidyCal, which is a competitor of Calendly, but their price point is much better. I think it's like $30 for a lifetime membership. And again, there's a questionnaire that can be built in, and it combines with your whatever calendar you're using actively so that it doesn't double book you. I think those are huge tools. That, as well as the right support system for you. And that's going to look like a variety of individuals based on the needs that you have. And so there's people I go to for advice. There's people I go to just vent to. There's people I go to just hold space. And there's people I go to for comfort. So it's a variety of what is it that you need, and understanding yourself, where it's like, yeah, I don't want someone to give me advice back or tell me what I did wrong. I just want to blow off steam and get these thoughts out. Or I do want somebody to give me constructive criticism or some ideas on this thing, and knowing who to go to and when. And then also recognizing that sometimes people aren't available or don't have the capacity to do those things for you. So it's beneficial to have multiples so that, you know, ideally somebody is available for those things.
Yep. And if you go to Pinnacle AI, so it's getpinnacleai.ai, you can see Jeff there on the front page giving a nice testimonial. Good on you, Jeff. If you weren't doing this, what other occupation would you like to try and why?
So previous to this, I spent about 8 years doing web security. I didn't really enjoy that. That wasn't like a passion of mine. If I wasn't doing this, like I didn't have to work, or like I still had to work.
Oh, you still got work.
Yeah, I don't know. I do enjoy the lack of consistency. I don't like doing the same thing every day, day in, day out. So it would be something that is unique every single day. Previously, I graduated from college with a degree in criminal justice. The intention was to step into some form of law enforcement because, again, that's not the same thing every day. You have to problem solve and figure things out. So I think that was an area that's always been an interest, but never came to fruition. So probably something in that realm.
Yeah, awesome. Let's finish up with this one. If you could go back to your 18-year-old self and give yourself one piece of advice that you now know, what would that piece of advice be?
Bam. Read more self-help books early.
Awesome. Love it, Jeff. Thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate those insights and advice, mate. Guys, if you want to track down Jeff, you can find Jeff at food4thought.com, and also at beacons.ai. You can find Jeff out there. We'll put all those links in the show notes. Mate, really appreciate your insights and advice today. Some absolute gems amongst that. And I think look, anyone adopting even just part of that little sort of CRM process that you're using will definitely get better results, deeper connections, and more peace in yourself.
Thanks again for having me, Tim. It's been a pleasure to chat today.
Guys, again, if you've enjoyed today's episode, please like, share, and comment and rate the show. Just click the three dots at the bottom top of your favorite podcast app and you'll find all the links to do so there. Otherwise, we'll catch you on another episode real soon. Ciao for now. Thank you for joining us on today's episode of More Clients, Less Effort.
Join us next time for another insightful discussion filled with actionable advice and inspiring stories, all geared towards helping you grow and scale your business simply and easily. Remember to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite app so you never miss an episode. See you next time.